Y'all should have been able to get the. Oh, we're married.
Good three, y'all.
Yeah.
All right, let's begin tonight with a hymn. I'm just going to sing one hymn tonight since we're going to have the fellowship time. 247. 247, Amazing Grace. Tonight, Brother Paul, I believe today was his birthday. We certainly pray for him and wish him as many more as the Lord has ordained, and we thank him for him and Ree. We pray for Brother Joe and Lorna. Lorna was having an eye procedure, I think, today. Pray for Jewel and for others that are sick. I thought about it as I was trying to read this hymn words, that I don't think my eye procedure can come soon enough. Maybe I've got it scheduled for the 23rd, so pray for me. The whole thought of somebody cutting on your eye just does not seem right. And remember my granddaughter Lizzie tomorrow. She's has an endoscopy, and they're going to look at her tummy, make her swallow the light. So pray for her as we try to take her for that. Let's pray tonight. Our Father, tonight we ask, in our great weakness, that you would give us strength, that you would be to us our strength, that you would help us as we live here in this world, and give us more grace and more faith, that we might be among your people, that we might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we might be true worshipers. We pray, Lord, that you would give us strength, especially to overcome every obstacle, not only those outside of us, but those inside of us, every obstacle that stands in the way of a complete devotion and love and service for thee. We know, Lord, that we are in ourselves no good thing. And we pray that you might make Christ to us our everything. As Paul said, we desire to be found in him, clothed in his perfect righteousness, washed in his precious blood from all our sins. We pray for these that are on our hearts tonight and many, many more as they are around this earth. We pray for your people separately, individually, as they're scattered all about this earth and those places that you have put them, caused them to be, to grow up, to live. And we pray tonight that we might find in your word comfort for all of your sheep. We know, Lord, that they are a people who know something about their condition because you've taught them. And we pray, Lord, that they might know that comfort that you give to them through your word. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel for sinners such as we are. We pray tonight that you would help us. We pray for those in our nation who lead, for all the people that are in this place that we call the United States. We ask your will be done in all things. We pray we might see your wise hand in all that you do. Be resolved to follow you regardless of how it might be. And know that all of these things are working toward our good and your glory. We pray and we thank you tonight in the name of Christ. We thank you for every blessing, every spiritual blessing especially, that we receive through and by him as the Lord our righteousness. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to turn with me tonight to Jeremiah chapter 29. Since we're going to have a time of fellowship, I will seek, by the Lord's help, to be as brief as I can tonight. Jeremiah 29. Israel was about to go into exile in Babylon. And these are the words that God sent to His people, to this nation of people who'd be going into captivity. And He sent them these words by the prophet Jeremiah. And this is exactly how His church is in this Babylon in which we live. They were about to go into Babylonian captivity. They were about to be in altogether different surroundings among people, but that's really the case of all of God's elect spiritually in every generation, in every place. Because the Lord refers to them as exiles, as strangers, as foreigners, as pilgrims. He likens them to travelers that are in a strange land. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, in talking about the people of faith, God's people, His believing people, he says of them, "These all died in faith," naming different individuals at different times, in different places and environments. "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." This earth was not and is not our home. We are strangers passing through. And we are in a place such as Babylon. And like them, so it is now. It's all according to God's purpose and will. In other words, it will be for an appointed time. We will live on this earth in wherever God has appointed us to be. We will live for this time that He has appointed. They were 70 years, and they were to be so for that period of time in this exile and captivity. Funny 70 years, because the Lord describes like an average lifetime of a man as being 70 years, 70 years, but a definite time. So he says here in verse 1, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters, and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. In other words, they were not only in captivity, but they were there, and they were there by the hand and providence and purpose of God. That's exactly the way it was. That's exactly the way it is in our lives, in this place, in this time, that life and time, definite time that the Lord has given. And it might surprise some religious folks that he tells them next that in the midst of this time, they were and we are to live in this time, live in the midst of these people, carry on life as God has ordained it, has provided for them and protected them. Look at what he says next. Verse 5. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that they may be increased there and not diminished. They were to live, even though in that place, as it was necessary for them to live, they were to do the things that a living, thriving people do. They were to work. They were to build houses. They were to marry. They were to do just everything normal to life. They were to live the life appointed them in the place and in the time that God had appointed them, no matter where it was. But look at what he says to them in that seventh verse. That's the one I want us to really see tonight. As they lived in this world, as they worked, built houses, married, carried on life, he says, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. They were not to be hostile. They were not to be a threat. As a matter of fact, God says here to them that they were to seek the peace of that city. where it was that God had carried them away to captive, in this case, Babylon. They were to seek the peace of that city. You notice how he identifies it, irregardless of a name, by saying this, that city where he has brought you into captivity. This is the Lord's doing. And he says, see the peace of that city, and they were not to do things that disrupt the peace of it. They were to live peaceable lives. They were to be characterized before that people and nation and generation as peaceable people. That's the way we are to be recognized and known in our day, in this place, as peaceable people. Now hold your place here and look over in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. The Lord commands his people to do these things and to be this way, saying to them that they are to do it because this is what God has appointed and because this is what God commands and gives as Christ for an example. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now you say, well, this is just talking about dealing with the Lord's people. Not exactly now. Listen now further. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. I would assume surely that would be people outside of the Lord's church. Then he says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And this isn't where the text ends. This is where the chapter separators ended as far as verses are concerned. But this is really a carrying on in chapter 13. Let every man or every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to do thee good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are the God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man nothing but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Thou, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. He says you are to seek to live peaceably in the city. Seek the peace of the city. Turn also to 1 Peter chapter 1. Rather, 1 Peter chapter 2. Because Peter here refers to the Lord's people wherever they are, whatever kind of exile situation that they're in from the Father's house. He refers to them as a nation within a nation. Verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We can live in darkness. That is the darkness all around us. And still have light. Light in us. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And then he goes into not using your liberty or freedom as a coat, as a cloak. They were to seek the peace and seek to live in peace in the city. I thought about what was said of Daniel. When he refused to obey the one thing he couldn't do, which was to deny his God. It says, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. In other words, Daniel was not a lawbreaker in the land. He was a good citizen. He sought the peace of the land as God commanded, being himself in a kind of captivity. So even his enemies were forced to admit, we can't find any fault with him except in the matters of his God. I wish that could be said of us. Always be said of us as his people. But then there's another thing he says. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. They were to pray for the city where the Lord had brought them captive. I thought about it. You know, we talk about nations and cities and all that in such general and generic terms, but all they are is really people. There wouldn't be a city or a nation without people. They were to pray for the city, the people in that city. I heard a man say one time, God doesn't want you to pray for anybody but his people. And I thought to myself, you're not Christ, because you don't know who his people are. You don't know who his people are. I don't know who his people are. I know some that I feel confident are, but we don't know who his people in general are. Turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul, writing to Timothy, gives us these instructions. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, prayer, supplications and prayers, intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men. And the fact that we know that he's talking about all kinds of people here, we know that by what he says in the next verse. He's not talking about all men without exception, but he's talking about all kinds of men. We don't even know all men universally, but we know all kinds of men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That we might live a peaceful life. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, that is, all kinds of men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Here's another reason we know that's what he's talking about. For there is one God. Here's a people over here, Jew. Here's another people over here, Gentile. And amongst them a host of different little groups, each one saying God's this way and God's that way. But Paul says there's just one God. And he saves all kinds of men, women. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. A mediator has to mediate if he's a mediator. And you notice here, he doesn't use the generic man. He says he's one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. It will be shown, manifested, that his people are a people out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, because it will be testified to in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Therefore, I will therefore that all men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. In other words, male or female, Jew or Gentile, as the Lord brings us in the midst of the people that he has called us to live in the midst of it, no matter how dark, how devilish, how different, we are to pray for that city. That means we are to pray for its citizens. And the third thing here, I believe, is understood. We are to pray not only for the city and the citizens, but as we are scattered and exiled by God, wherever the place is, we're to proclaim the gospel of peace. That's what he called us to do. That's why we live where we live. That's why we live in the time that we live. We are to spread and proclaim the gospel of God's glory and tell others of the mercy he had upon us in saving us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to tell them in this city that Christ made peace for sinners, chosen sinners of God, by the blood of his cross. He made peace. We bring peace in this way. We're to seek it among men. We're to pray for the peace of the city. We're to speak the gospel of peace. And look what he says in the last part. For in the peace thereof, ye shall have peace. Man is a rebel against God, likes turmoil, likes fighting and bickering, and likes arguing, debate, and controversy, and everything like that. That's just what men are by nature. But we're to pray for peace. And we're to proclaim the gospel of peace. And in the peace thereof, what's that? The peace of the city. The Lord will give us peace. He gives us peace in our souls. We can have peace about all things in the city. We can remember and feel peaceful for the Lord bringing us to this city. And God gives his people, especially spiritual peace. He's given us peace I'd sure like to see some in the place where he's called us to be, to know that peace. Seek to be peaceable. Pray for the peace of this city, of this nation, for the citizens of this nation. Carry the gospel of peace to them. And in this place, the Lord will give us peace. Either peace or a peace about it. The peace about it is what really counts. Our Father, tonight we pray that you would press these words upon our minds, stir our affections and our thoughts toward them. It's no accident that we live where we live, when we live. It's no accident that the circumstances are like they are. It's no accident that there are fallen sinners all around. Turmoil, wars, controversies, arguments, debates. But we pray for the peace of this city, of this nation. We pray for the citizens for sinners like us. And we thank you for the gospel of peace, the Prince of Peace. We pray in his name. Amen.